Going. Welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. This is the foreign service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International. My name is Fernando Farias, and together with sound technician Marisa Santillán, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Tuesday, May 14, 2024, with news, with sports, with music. And today we'll be paying homage to coach El Flaco Menotti, no? The manager of Argentina, César Luis Menotti, who was the coach of the Argentine national team in the 1978 World Cup, in which Argentina won for the first time. Apart from that, he was a key figure in the history of the sport in the country. Actually, there is a line of thought, there is a footballing line of thought that is named after him, which is at odds, or is supposed to be against or on the opposite side of that, headed or represented by the other coach that won a World Cup, was Carlos Salvador Bilardo in 1986. Well, El Flaco Menotti passed away 10 days ago, and there is a piece on him that we'd like to share with you to get to know more about his life and about how or why he's so important to football. And this will take us down memory lane also, because we're going to be remembering World Cups also a little bit. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrai@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then of course Buenos Aires, Argentina. Both ways are okay for sending reception reports if you're at the EXA. If you want to listen to us, you've got the shortwave option. This show is at Mondays to Fridays at 10:30 p.m. UTC time on the frequency of 5850 kHz. And also, you can listen to us on the web on riot.com.ar. That's our webpage where you can listen to our shows online as podcasts. Or you can listen to the station live streaming through that URL, riot.com.ar. You can also download our app for mobile devices, our free app, and listen to us online via your phone. The news now. These are the headlines. After the crash that left almost 100 injured, the Argentine government decrees a railway emergency. The International Monetary Fund assures Argentina overachieved its financial goals. Trade unionists questioned in the Senate Javier Milei's reform project, the Bases Law. Brazilian President Lula suspends a visit to Chile due to floods that left almost 150 dead. For the Peruvian government, transsexuals are mentally ill. Sports. Former River manager Marcelo Gallardo to quit coaching Al Ittihad of Saudi Arabia. And these are the news. The federal government decreed a railway emergency after the train crash in Buenos Aires last Friday, which left almost 100 people injured. This was announced by presidential spokesman Manuel Adorni this Monday at Casa Rosada. According to him, the measure will enable a comprehensive audit of the system and will make funds available more quickly. Regarding the accident, Adorni said, We understand that there was a human error, but we are respectful of the work of the courts, which are investigating the incident. For the spokesman, Argentina's railway network is devastated. Meanwhile, one of the passengers injured in the crash sued the government for not financing works in the train system. According to the court filing the press had access to, the signaling devices had been in need of maintenance for months. A train with commuters, let's recall, crashed into an empty one on Friday on the San Martin line over a bridge in the neighborhood of Palermo. According to the hypothesis, an operator incorrectly reported that the track was clear. The International Monetary Fund will enable a new disbursement to Argentina of about $800 million. The IMF made this announcement when confirming that the country approved a new revision of an agreement to settle a debt. According to the Washington-based entity, Argentina overachieved all its targets during the first quarter of 2024. In a statement, the fund highlighted progress in the fight against inflation and the recovery of foreign exchange reserves. The message also stressed that despite inheriting a highly complex economic and social situation, the Milei administration is moving faster than expected. On Monday, the Senate resumed the analysis of Javier Milei's government reform bill, the so-called Ley Bases or Bases Law. Yesterday, union leaders attended the meeting and expressed before lawmakers their opposition to the labor chapter of the initiative. For Héctor Daer of the CGT Umbrella Union, the Bases Law encourages under-the-table unregistered employment. Another speaker was Hugo Jacqui of the CTA, who described the bill as absolutely regressive. According to him, the government's initiative does not have a single article that respects Article 14 of the Constitution, which protects labor rights. In this context, a pro-government senator criticized unionists for not striking during the presidency of Alberto Fernández, Milei's predecessor. Senator Ezequiel Atauche recalled that between 2019 and 2023, inflation and poverty increased while purchasing power fell. And he asked union leaders, in that same period, where were you? Because we, this administration, had a strike only after 45 days in office, and there was another one after 5 months. This accusation comes only 4 days after the second general strike against Milei's government, which had been called by the CGT and the CTA. According to local press, it is unlikely that the Bases Law will be approved before May 25, as the president intended. Let's recall that the head of state had summoned governors for that date, Argentina's main national holiday, to sign a pact on long-term policies. One of those leaders, Axel Kicillof, from Buenos Aires, confirmed yesterday that he will not attend the meeting with Mr. Milei. According to the opposition member's explanation, the reason is that Casa Rosada, the executive branch, is not fulfilling its obligations with the district that he governs. With Kicillof, it's now 5 governors who will not sign what the president called the May Pact. Brazilian President Lula da Silva suspended a visit to Chile due to the floods that have already left almost 150 dead. This was announced by his government in a communique which stressed the need to monitor the situation in Rio Grande do Sul and coordinate assistance to the victims. Lula was to meet with his Chilean counterpart Gabriel Boric to get him to join the plan to relaunch the UNASUR bloc of South American nations. Heavy rains and record high river levels caused a catastrophe in southern Brazil. The main city of the region, Porto Alegre, was flooded and more than 600,000 people have been evacuated. In addition to 147 fatalities, the catastrophe has left almost 130 people missing, who are being searched for by rescuers. For the Peruvian government, transsexuals are mentally ill. This is what says a resolution of the Ministry of Health that updates the list of conditions that can be treated in public and private hospitals. The diagnosis of mental and behavioral disorders include transsexualism and gender identity disorder in childhood, among others. This contradicts the World Health Organization, which excluded transsexuality from its manual of diseases. The decree was condemned by several organizations for the rights of the LGBT community. They warn that, among other consequences, it may enable the so-called conversion therapies or the application of hormones to supposedly correct homosexuality. These treatments, activists point out, are considered torture under international law. In response to the controversy, the Ministry of Health issued a statement clarifying that it does not consider sexual diversity as a disease. Without retracting its original statement, the ministry assures the decree intended to guarantee full mental health coverage for the entire population. And now, sports. Argentina's Marcelo Gallardo is no longer the coach of the Saudi Arabian team Al Ittihad. Only 6 months after taking over, the former River DT or coach or manager was removed by decision of the club's authorities following a series of poor sporting results. The last 5-0 defeat to Al Ettifaq that left the squad out of the AFC Champions League precipitated Gallardo's departure before the end of his contract in 2025. The Argentine will always be remembered for his successful campaign at River as coach between 2014 and 2022, when he won 11 titles, including 2 Copa Libertadores. And these were the news on RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo. RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
Coming up, a piece on César Luis Menotti, the late César Luis Menotti, the legendary coach of Argentina's national team in the 1978 World Cup. But that will be after some music. And today we have a playlist related to World Cups. To begin with, let's go not that far in time, not that far back in time. We go back to December 2022. When Argentina won the World Cup in Qatar, and there were several songs dedicated to the national team. One of them is this one by La T y La M, the T and the M, and it's simply called the song for the national team.
Ay, esto es La T y La M para la selección. Dios en el cielo y en la tierra, como en Malvinas preparado para la guerra. Es la ilusión por la tercera, 40 millones te siguen donde sea. Le mandamos cumbia, perro. ¡Ja! Esta locura no la traten de entender, no tiene cura, se llevan la piel. Hasta la tumba te voy a querer, de chiquito descalzo en el potrero. Y hoy representando en el mundo entero la fe intacta de ser primero. Soy argentino, me sobran los huevos. Sea la pelota no se mancha. Argentina que tenemos que ganar. Y hoy no podemos perder. Hoy no podemos perder.
Despacito, che.
Hoy no podemos perder. Hoy no podemos perder. Esta locura no la traten de entender. La Argentina no podés perder.
Argentina, 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 Argentina.
Well, a couple of days ago, actually, this was on Sunday, the 5th of May. César Luis Minotti passed away, and the news of his death was announced right in the middle of the final of the local tournament between Vélez Sarsfield and Estudiantes de La Plata. Right in the middle, I mean in the halftime, the news of his death was announced, and a minute of silence was observed in his honor. Minotti is key in the history of this sport. And talking about the national team, he was the one who, the first to put the national team above all else. To give priority to the national team above all else. And during his stint as manager of the national team, he led Argentina during the 1978 World Cup that the country won for the first time. No? It was the first time. And after that, the national team came on top of everything else. Argentina always sees itself and is seen by the world as a contender after 1978. It wasn't so before 1978. And Menotti is partly responsible for this. So in order to put his legacy under the spotlight, I just wanted to share a piece written by Dan Edwards for the Buenos Aires Times on César Luis Menotti, entitled El Flaco, the skinny one, as he was nicknamed, left an indelible mark on Argentine football. Argentine football has lost one of its titans. On Sunday, World Cup winning coach César Luis Menotti passed away at the age of 85, plunging the national game into mourning. For more than five decades, El Flaco worked to leave an indelible mark on the sport, and he will be forever associated with football and the nation he took to the top of the world in the most difficult of circumstances. Born in Rosario in 1938, Menotti was an accomplished footballer during his playing days, a prolific goal scorer who shined with Rosario Central, Racing Club, Santos, and Argentina's national team. But it was on the bench that the combative, outspoken firebrand would become a legend. After retiring early from the playing field, he was handed the top job at Huracán, aged just 32, tasked with turning around the fortunes of this ailing Buenos Aires club. Inspired by the wizardly wing play of René Hausemann, Menotti's Globo, the balloon, took Argentina by storm, beating out Boca to win the 1973 Metropolitano Championship and clinch the club's first title in almost 50 years. What is more, They played with the verve and the swagger that would become synonymous with the long-haired, chain-smoking coach throughout his career. A throwback to the golden La Nuestra era of Argentine football, where technical ability and the bravery to try anything on the pitch were first and foremost. That Huracán side was different from everyone else. It arrived to earn a place in the history as one of the greatest and most brilliant in our football, Minori himself recalled many years later. At the very least, it was the best I ever saw in Argentina, he said. But it did not express an era, not even the feeling of an era. I am convinced that it saved Argentine football, Menotti assured. Menotti's prowess in Parque Patricios, the neighborhood where Huracán is located, led to him being named coach of the national team in 1974. And he remained in his post even after the advent of the murderous dictatorship under Jorge Rafael Videla 2 years later. The coup occurred while the national team was on a tour of Poland. The coach, an avowed militant and member of the Communist Party, was talked out of resigning by colleagues who convinced him that he should remain working on the inside and in defense of the Argentine people. Menotti stayed true to that principle. In 1978, it was his team that fought to Argentina's first ever World Cup triumph on home soil, beating the great Netherlands at a packed Estadio Monumental and with millions across the country cheering on their every move. An unforgettable moment in its football history. A year later, Argentina would be celebrating again as Menotti and the teenage Diego Maradona, infamously left out of the 1978 squad, brought home the World Youth Cup from Japan. It proved the high water mark of El Flaco's Albiceleste tenure. In 1982, and in the shadow of war with England, Argentina suffered an early exit to their defense of the title, prompting the authorities to turn to the coach's arch-rival Carlos Bilardo. He would move on to work with Maradona in Barcelona, winning the Copa del Rey in their debut season together with four events in Catalonia, ultimately turned sour. Menotti went on to work in coaching and advisory capacities for top clubs across Argentina and the football world, later acting as a mentor to Lionel Scaloni as national team director at the start of the Albiceleste's latest and current golden age, starting in 2018. Menotti was considered a footballing bohemian whose emphasis on individual freedom and expression formed one half of the great dichotomy in Argentine coaching philosophy next to Bilardo's system-based pragmatism. The rift between those two titans was often also personal as well as programmatic, with both men over the years dedicating rafts of column inches to taking the other down a peg or two. Towards the end of his life, however, Menotti made efforts to close the feud, stating in 2019, "Whatever differences we have are irrelevant. May God protect and help him," when asked to send a message to his adversary as he suffered from a degenerative illness. Modern Argentine football, in many ways, was forged in the image of these greats and will be much the poorer for the loss of Menotti, one of its great standard bearers and a true representative of his nation, both on the field and away from it. What a great obituary Dan Edwards has written on Cesar Luis Menotti, the late coach of Argentina's national team, who passed away in early May. El Flaco left an indelible mark on Argentine football, by Dan Edwards, for the Buenos Aires Times website. That's how you can find this great piece that we have shared on the airwaves of RAE.
RAE, Argentina al mundo. RAE, Argentina面向世界。
RAE, Argentine vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
DAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in the world.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
And speaking of Menotti, let's go back to 1978, to that World Cup that Argentina won for the first time as a local. Argentina hosted the tournament, and despite the fact that while the tournament was going on, horrible things were happening in the country, like torture, detention, human rights violations. In fact, a few blocks away from the Monumental Stadium,River Plate Stadium, where Argentina was winning the World Cup, there was a concentration camp, the largest in the country, the ESMA detention facility, and it's no exaggeration to say that the military dictatorship attempted to use the World Cup glory to divert attention from the atrocities it was committing in the country that later came to light. But at that time, it stoked nationalism, nationalist sentiment with the World Cup and everything surrounding it. But, well, let's we are focusing now on the football. And obviously, the World Cup brings good memories to people focusing on the football side of it. And this track that we are going to share now,will also touch the hearts of many Argentines that lived through that moment. It's the official anthem of the World Cup in 1978, written by the legendary Italian composer Ennio Morricone. Well, this is the national anthem. Not the national. Well, it can be a national anthem for many Argentines because we won the World Cup back then in 1978, June 1978, at home at the River Plate Stadium. How to forget that that image of the captain of the team of that team. Daniel Passarella lifting the World Cup. The coach was Cesar Luis Menotti, whom we are remembering today as he passed away a few days back. The official anthem of the World Cup is what we just played by Ennio Morricone, and it also brings personal memories. My mom always tells me that this tune reminds her of my birth, as I was born exactly in the middle of the World Cup. As a matter of fact, I was born on the day that Argentina beat France in that World Cup, at the beginning of the tournament. Well, speaking of the World Cup, I have brought you folks a document that I found for English speakers, which are the final minutes of that final between Argentina's national team and the Netherlands, with English commentary for an English language radio. The final moments of that very long game that went into extended time after a 1-1 draw in regulation time. Similar to the World Cup in 2022. Well, Argentina dominated, then the Europeans were able to equalize, and then it went into extended time. But let's bring back to life those final moments of that game that gave Argentina its first World Cup.
Waving their fists, cheering Argentina on as Tarantini takes this. And what a bad one it was. René van de Kerkhoff for Holland. Benson Brick. Suvia. Offside. Portfleet started his run a little too early. Galvan to take the free kick. No, in fact, he leaves it for Passarella. Suvia and Bertoni. And the ball in for Kempes. Got a score. Young Brown has done it. And he's chipping into the net. And anybody can get the credit for that, but Kempes is going to claim it. It's 2-1 Argentina. There's about 14 seconds left.
Kempes again coming through from midfield, running onto the ball, going on, showing how strong he is on it, getting his shot in just before Young Brown can get to him, getting a lucky deflection, and watching the ball crawl over the line. Just watch it crawl over the line. Tremendous goal. Unfortunately, they don't deserve it.
Still the roars, crescendo and cannon back off the walls of the stadium. In fact, we've got half time in extra time. It's 2-1 Argentina, and it's half time in extra time. Let's see what the panel has to say about it now.
I have to remind you that the marvellous film Touch of Class with Glenda Jackson will now be shown 35 minutes later than billed. That, believe me, is worth waiting for, and so too is the second half of extra time here. How do you fancy it now, Brian?
The goal he scored was a magnificent goal for determination, keeping his head. Even when tackles were coming in thick and fast, he stayed on his feet, which is important. He could have been looking for penalties. But he wasn't. He stayed on his feet, and he deserved the final break where the goalkeeper came out and it bobbed away from him.
Right, back to you, Hugh.
Well, another incredible 15 minutes of football to be completed.
Holland have come off the floor once in this game. Can they do it again? Argentine fans say no, absolutely.
Well, the only person that was going to win the game for the Argentinians was in fact Kempes. He's the only one that's looked really positive running from midfield, and he scored the two goals from that position.
Mario Kempes, this incredibly talented footballer, Marito they call him in Argentina, little Mario, the boy they've loved in Argentine football over so many years. Top goal scorer in Spain for the last two seasons, a regular top scorer for Rosario before he went there. Got many important goals. And here goes Luque. And the free kick's been given. Free kick's been given on that break. So Holland. Here's Nanenka. René van der Kerkhoff. Argentina fighting for everything as Passarella battening down on René van der Kerkhoff. Tarantini losing. And Passarella helping him out. And any clearance will do. Kempes, offside by at least 5 yards, is Luque. And the referee is after Luque for having a crack at Jungblut. Referee who's had occasion to book, what is it, 4 players so far. The ball's in the crowd and the Argentinians don't want to give it back. As much time as can click off the clock as possible. They want now. Millions of Argentines all over this country, at home, in cafes, in bars, are going as mad as the crowds here at this moment. And tonight it's going to be fiesta time all over Argentina if Holland don't get back in there. Offside flag from Ramon Barreto. And Holland have got 12 minutes left. Zubir, that's a bad header. Come down to Bertoni. Argentina looking for a third goal, which would really wrap it up. That's a foul by La Rosa. And Hahn didn't like it one little bit. Kempes afraid out there. Zari Hahn goes back up the field for Holland. The free kick taken by Kroll. Nanenka up. It's Passarella getting it away, and all green, now La Rosa. And that was Hahn. Solidly into La Rosa. And now La Rosa decides that he is very badly hurt. And they lift him back to his feet. Well, I don't blame Neskins one tiny bit for that. La Rosa asked for everything he got. Having got it, now he's trying to waste time, and the Dutch are clustered around him, and the fans are roaring their anger at Holland. And meantime, La Rosa is back on his feet. Now there's the colour and the excitement of an Argentine crowd in full chorus, looking forward some 10 minutes from now, when if there's no change in the score, Argentina will win the World Cup. There's a foul. And a free kick to Holland. And Holland desperately must pull something out of the bag in the next 2 or 3 minutes. Goal, building that long. Was Passarella, climbed very well. Here's Bertoni for Argentina. Willy van der Kerkhoff back to it. Shoved him out of the way. Free kick. The crowd getting more and more angry with Holland. Kempes leaving it In fact, everybody wants to leave the free kick now. Carantini will take it. Passarella knocks it forward for Kempes. Can he get a hat-trick? Kempes, who will have the freedom of the country for those two goals. Holland pushing forward again. Time running away from them. Less than 10 minutes to go. Another free kick to Argentina, which will give them a few more seconds breathing space. The free kick from Passarella, aiming for Hausmann. And he's got the legs to get round there. And again, he tried to do too much. But at that speed, I'm sure there wasn't really very much more he could do. He had to go all the way on his own. He's tight to the line. He could perhaps have released it earlier, but no, he was unlucky. Tremendous turn of pace. As Maninka challenging. Holland hasn't got the time to weigh as Lucky cut through. There was an offside though. Lucky! And Jungblud has made the save, which is total justice, because there was a player offside before that. The referee decided he wasn't interfering with play, but Lucky could have wrapped it up then. Jungblud kept him out. But there's less than, there's 8 minutes left, and that goal would certainly have sealed it up. It's still 2-1. Kempes will take another corner. Hausmann in the box. Luke is in there.
Folks, you're listening to the final minutes of the World Cup 1978 final between Argentina and the Netherlands that took place on June 25, 1978. We are sharing this recording from that day to honor the late coach of Argentina's national team, Cesar Luis Menotti. Okay?
Who came flying in to get on the end of it. The referee waving play on as Argentina gather all the troops back. Willy van de Kerkhoff. Ernie Brandt's up to fight for it. The header back in again. Port Fleet in. There's Rudy Kroll. Kroll, the short ball in to Niskins. Hard and low on the ground. And yet another Argentine down just outside the box.
He suddenly decided to fall down. I don't know why, there was no one near him. He just decided to fall down and have a rest. And I bet the referee has to stop the game because there's no way they're going to play on without him.
No, that's the captain, Passarella. He's got a bit of cramp. The referee is waving the game on. There's just about 6 minutes to go. Argentina still winning it. 2-1. Luque. And now Luque will go down. And the referee is given the free kick, and nobody's taking any notice of Luque. Except Naiskins, who just stood over him and said, why don't you be a big boy and get back on your feet? The free kick is to Argentina. Kempes is placing the ball. La Rosa takes the free kick for Tarantini. Bertoni. Kempes. He's got the acceleration. He's got the shot. Bertoni! Yes! It's 3-1 and that's the World Cup!
An incredible player, this Kempes. His strength, his running power, all the way.
less than 5 minutes to go, and that is a scoreline that you can't do anything about at all. Bertone is still taking his bows to the highest tiers of seats here in the River Plate Stadium. And there's no way that Holland can get back into this now. 4 minutes to go. Argentina in the boss seat at 3-1. Wenzelbring knocks it in. Carantini belts it away. That's Kempes for Luque. Kroll coming back to Luque. And Rudy Kroll rocks it into Youngblood. And the crowds are just not going to sit down or stop cheering. Many of them up in front of us. With La Rosa, deliberate handball again. But it doesn't seem to matter anymore now. The result that every Argentinian forecast is coming through. Argentina are going to win the World Cup. Tarantini getting it in front of Filho. Filho being impeded, not being allowed to get the ball away. I shouldn't think the players can hear the referee's whistle. I certainly can't. I'd be very surprised if many of you could actually hear me at home. But I think those pictures tell the story. La Rosa. And here's Hausmann. And there goes Bertini. And they're looking for Luque. About 2.5 minutes of this game to go. And the crowd singing the Mundial song. Neskin's in. Oh. Bernie van der Kerkhoff, no foul given. Tarantini recovers remarkably well. And a shot here from Neskin's that was charged down. Now it's Portley. And Kroll's got a hurry. Because Kempes nearly stole the ball away from him. Subir. Hahn. Holland fighting to the end. Surely all they can hope for now is for a slightly more respectable scoreline. Bertone standing on the ball. Off for Luque. Not much more than 90 seconds as Luque goes down again. Linesman that side from Austria waves everybody away. As Willy van der Kerkhoff comes forward. Just a minute left. Just 1 minute for the whole of Argentina to sit on their seats before rising and blowing the top right off the stadium. There's the roar of fans coming up again. The waving of the flag. This will be the first time in the history of the competition that Argentina have won the World Cup. 48 years ago they came second. Now here they are, 3-1 up. Ernie Brandt gets that ball in. And Ernie Brandt's in there again to hoik it in. And the captain, Passarella, gets it clear. And Kempes, the scorer of those two vital early goals. Knocks it away to Luque. Luque to Kempes, and Luque, handball. Well, they held the world basketball championship here in Buenos Aires earlier this week. I think Luque could have been in the middle of it. Time is up on my watch. We're in stoppage time now. As Holland still bravely come in there, trying to tidy up the scoreline. As Hahn. Maninka throws himself in the box. No penalty. Zubia whacks it in there again. An interrupt. As referee ends this game, Sergio Canella ends it. And the crowds rise and hurl flags in the air. 3-1, Argentina have won the World Cup. And the noise is absolutely deafening. Cesario Ismanotti, the technical director of the side. There they are, champions of the world, 1978. Well, those pictures tell their own story, and all the anger and the bitterness of the dying stages of the game, obvious in a cup tie of this, a cup final of such tremendous proportions, now forgotten, as players are hoisted on the shoulders of their colleagues. The cameramen dive in for those important pictures that are going to flash around the world. The world having sat at home.
And that was the final minutes, the final 20 minutes of that final World Cup game between Argentina, the host, the home country, and the Netherlands, that were reaching the final for the second consecutive time after losing it to Germany, West Germany, in 1974. And we have played this document, we have shared this document to honor the late coach of Argentina's national team at that World Cup, Cesar Luis Menotti, who passed away 10 days ago and was a huge influence on Argentine football. But we will always remember him as the leader, the brains behind that national team that gave Argentina its first star. Then Argentina won it the second time in 1986 under the guidance of manager Carlos Salvador Bilardo, who was the, so to speak, philosophical rival or nemesis of Menotti for the reasons we shared before. He was a much more system-based, pragmatic, whereas Menotti, so to speak, was more of an idealist, and he was all about the quality of the game and the individual talent of the men under his wing. But well, the second star for Argentina was mainly achieved by Maradona, Diego Armando Maradona. And then the third, you know, well, not that long ago, in 2022, by Lionel Messi and coach Lionel Scaloni, who, by the way, was a pupil for Cesar Luis Menotti, who about 6 years ago was appointed head of all national teams for Argentina after a series of disappointments, many years of disappointments for Argentina. I'm talking about almost 30 years without winning major titles. Argentina wins the World Cup in 1986. Then it wins the Copa America in 1991 and 1993, and then nothing until 2021. And in the meantime, it reached the final in 2014. It lost two consecutive Copa America finals in 2015 and 2016. Lots of disappointments. And that sad process comes to an end with Menotti being appointed head of national teams. And he's the man who has to be credited for trusting Lionel Scaloni as the coach of the senior national team, as Scaloni had very little experience as a coach. No, he's very young, he's 40, 45, and he hasn't coached any major team before. But Menotti gave Scaloni his trust, and boy, did that move pay off. Okay, let's play another World Cup-related tune. This, in the opinion of many, should be the eternal official anthem for all World Cups. We should scrap all World Cup anthems and just use the one of 1990, the one of Italy 1990 by Gianna Nannini and Eduardo Benato, an Italian summer, un'estate italiana, the World Cup in which Argentina reached the final but lost to Germany thanks to a penalty kick 10 minutes before the end of the game.
A cambiare le regole del gioco, ma voglio viverla così questa avventura, senza frontiere, con il cuore in gola. Il mondo in una giostra di colori, e il vento accarezza le bandiere. Arriva un brivido e ti trascina via, e sciogli in un abbraccio la follia. Notti magiche inseguendo un gol sotto il cielo di un'estate italiana, e negli occhi tuoi voglia di vincere un'estate, un'avventura in più. Quel sogno che comincia da bambino e che ti porta sempre più lontano, non è una favola e dagli spogliatoi escono i ragazzi e siamo noi. Notti magiche inseguendo un gol sotto il cielo di un'estate italiana, e negli occhi tuoi voglia di vincere un'estate, un'avventura.
Let's quickly go over the headlines before signing off. After the crash that left almost 100 injured, the Argentine government decrees a railway emergency. The International Monetary Fund assures Argentina overachieved its financial goals. Trade unionists question in the Senate Javier Milei's reform project, the basis law. Brazilian President Lula suspends a visit to Chile due to the floods that left almost 150 dead. For the Peruvian government, transsexuals are mentally ill. sports, former River manager Marcelo Gallardo to quit coaching Al Ittihad of Saudi Arabia. This way we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, the international service of the Argentine Radio. Our sound technician today was Marisa Santillán and the host, yours truly, Fernando Farias. Thank you for listening. Hasta mañana.